I'm going to continue on this message I started last week. Last week I got to point number one. And I just started on number two, so we'll get a little farther today, but God is good. And we're praying about every aspect of the service on Wednesday nights, what to do. How many of us that we want to move with the Lord? So we're being sensitive to the Holy Spirit on each area, how we open up, how we manage those things. And I know that the mind of Christ is here, so God will do it. My message title this morning is The Power of Return. In Matthew 24, tell me when you got it. I'm going to start with verse 42. Matthew 24, 42. I'm going to read from King James here. It says, "Watch therefore, for you don't know the hour which your Lord comes." I mean, that's a true fact. Every person that says, "I know when Jesus is going to return," is anti-scriptural. The Father knows when the Son's going to return. That has been left to Him. He's going to turn to His Son and say, "Go get them, Son." But there are things that we can discern in the times, like the seasons that are around, that you can see more than ever we're in those seasons of the last days. That we need to be ready, that the harvest is ready. We just need to start putting out the pole and throwing out some nets. How did you hear? Somebody told you. And when faith comes by hearing, truthfully, the word worked in you and you got born again. So that power needs to go out and we need to share that others can be born again. My prayer is this: we've sowed a lot of seeds in the land that sooner or later it's going to come to fruition. We need to start expecting for a harvest of souls. Honestly, church, let's look at this. What if the city that you lived in, everybody in that city came to Christ tomorrow? Where on earth are they going to go to church? Sometimes I think we think too small in what God wants to do. He wants to save by the multitudes. Say amen. Then we need to get our faith out there in those areas. When it comes to Michigan, sometimes Jesus is the best kept secret. He said, "Watch therefore." That means you're observant. You're starting to look at all that's going on. Hopefully you've had a little time to do a little more Bible study. Some of you had a little time off. Say amen. In Matthew 25, verse 13, if you're taking notes, "Watch therefore, for you don't know the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes." When you get to Habakkuk 2, verse 1, it says, "Stand and watch." In Revelation 22, verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly." Listen, each area is one that we need to start focusing in. Today we need to start focusing in, hey, we need to be watching. Our eyes need to be clear. Because sooner or later, He is going to come. Sooner or later, He's going to be there. And we need to start looking, say, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." When I look today, nothing else needs to be fulfilled for His return. The only reason, this is my personal opinion, that He hasn't already came, is He wants to sweep more people into the kingdom. So a divine delay has allowed souls to be saved. How many of us, heaven needs to be full? When I look today, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Every time I see a multitude of people, sometimes in my heart I wonder how many people are there. I've been to a few big stadiums. I've seen 100,000 people. And in my heart, sometimes I'm gripped. And I honestly have spoke this to myself. I wonder how many out of 106,000 are saved. And sometimes it grips me and I go, I don't really know. I know there's some people here that are. I know there's some people that love the Lord. But how many of the 106,000 right here are saved? That we have our business of our Father's business. But the church needs to start looking up and be ready. It needs to start watching and praying. That means you have your lamp already ready. Now, we don't use too many of those unless you have a cabin or you do some camping. But I remember those old lamps. You'd have oil in the bottom, you'd have a wick, and you'd have this little igniter, you'd have a little glass globe, and if everything was done right and you striked it, it actually made a pretty decent light. When the oil got dirty or the wick wasn't trimmed, or it was running out, it started to flicker. And when it started to flicker, it would make smoke and it would be nasty. Soon the glass would be dirty. When Christians do not replace the oil, keep it full, keep their wicks trimmed, we start to be like a smoky glass. That we give a little light, but it becomes repelling instead of inviting. Oh, I'm preaching now. We need to sometimes just clean out those areas and say, you know what? Sometimes you just need an oil change. Lord, empty me out, God. I want to be fresh and filled. Listen, no matter how long you're on this planet, sooner or later, you're going to need a bath. Say amen. Well, I haven't showered in 2 months, praise the Lord. Everybody else will know it. You may not anymore. The truth is that we need to continue. And believe me, if you are encamped right next to the enemy, you work in a job where they're anti-God, it's amazing to me how quick you can get dirty. Even if you didn't do anything on this planet, you're affected by the things going on, the conversations that are there. Truthful? Then, Lord, I want that cleansing power in me. But I need to start watching. That means when you get up, it could be today. Amen? Then if he gives me one more day, it's another day to serve you. But I know one of those days, he's going to come. You ever notice when people are watching, they're alert. Now, we have many transportations here. I remember as a kid having to get rides. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of those, if you're getting the ride, you had to watch for the somebody who pulls up? Right? It's the only time a horn is worth it that you don't get flipped off. They would honk the horn and you got in their vehicle and you were subject to that, true? But if you really cared about who was coming to get you, you were watching to see. Just like whoever rode a bus here. I rode a bus to school. Let me see your hand. You rode a bus to school. You had a bus route. Sometimes they dropped you off at this corner. Sometimes they're out. Rarely did you get dropped off in front of your house. If you did, you're awesome. Mine was down the street. But listen, there was a time frame on which you got on that. So some people would watch to see the bus coming and then jog out there at the last minute. It worked for them. I was one that was already out there who was like me. My family said this, no matter, even if the school was closed, my mom would not believe me. School is not closed. Mom, the school is closed. Nope, get out there. This one house we lived at, the school was right across the street. So I was there all the time. And I remember, Mom, the school's closed. No, it's not. You're just trying to get out of school. Get to school. I remember standing at the door, and the door's locked. And I'm like, I can't believe this. My mom has sent me to school. Finally, the custodian came by and said, the school is closed. I know, but my mom does not believe me. Do you kind of think that I might have skipped school a little bit here and there? Some of you are reading too much into this. But I remember coming back home saying, Mom, the school is closed. Call them yourself. And she did. She didn't believe me. Well, there's no answer, so it must be closed. Look, Mom, there's no cars in the parking lot. Nobody is there but me. I felt like such a bozo. I'm that kid. That was my family. You're going to school. But I've learned that if you're watching, you're alert. You're one step up over somebody who isn't. You're not being last minute hoping it's going to work. I've met a lot of people in my life that have said this, Pastor, I would love to serve the Lord, but I think I'm going to turn it over right before I die so I can live my life the way I want to and then finally get saved. Don't count on it. Don't count on your last breath. Now, God forbid that you get to that arena, you don't call out. But you can't base your whole life hoping for something in the future because an accident comes pretty quick. Say amen. And I've been at the bedside where people are departing from this life Generally, they just want to breathe one more breath. That's too serious, isn't it? Number three, we need to return to soul winning as a church. We need the work and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If you're taking notes, in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 41, when the apostles spoke a message, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said this to Peter. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin. Then you'll receive the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and your children." Notice that when the word was preached, conviction came back down. We need that today. We need conviction again in the church. The early church was birthed by people sharing the message of the gospel. And 3,000 were added to the church. That's a pretty good time. Listen, that was before Billy Graham crusades. This is Peter and John's first crusade, and they didn't even really know what to do. They just spoke the word and the Holy Spirit fell. Sometimes we get so geared up on what we should do. Let the Holy Spirit come in. You're praying for your family. Let the Holy Spirit do a work. You're just the messenger with it. And they were cut to their heart. Notice the conviction. When's the last time you heard conviction in the church? No, we want to please everyone. We don't want to offend anyone. I'm here to say, if you're not into offense, it's not on this planet. Sooner or later, you're going to get offended. It's just what you do with that. Do you want to take its bait or not chew on that? Say amen. How many knows your family can tick you off a little bit? Okay, three of you. How many knows a good friend can push some buttons there? How many knows your workplace can do a few things? The person at the grocery store can do it. And the person who always takes my parking spot can do it. Say amen. Amen. My wife will go, "It's okay. Honey, I've been waiting here with my turn signal on, ready to pull in," and that person just pulls right in. Praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, sometimes you've got to be conscious about it. Say amen. Then, Lord, open me one up right next to that handicapped spot in the first row. Thank you, Jesus. But we need to return to that. As we have this time, church, have that on your heart. Begin to look out from yourself. Say, you know what? Who can I witness to? I said, who can I witness to? If we're starting to look at it, we're starting to be conscious of it, I want you to know that God's able to work it through us. That's good preaching today. Amen. When I look at Jesus, we need to return to a sold-out heart to God. Fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2, verse 3, it appeared on the cloven tongues of fire and sat on each one of them. In Matthew 3, verse 11, John the Baptist says this, "I'm not worthy to even loose his shoes, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." In Leviticus 9, verse 24, he came down and consumed the offering with fire. I want you to know that God is a consuming fire. Fire is good. It consumes. It burns. Well, how much more, Lord, burn that dross off my heart. Burn those impurities off. Even the prophets that really understood how to speak for God said, "Lord, take that coal off the altar and purge my mouth. That only thing that I speak is the word of God." Come on, we need that, church. There are so many mixed messages out there. It's so watered down that you can't tell the gospel anymore. And hear me on this. When somebody says they don't want to be the church anymore, they're ashamed to be the church. Come on, what are we? I know of churches that don't even like to be called churches anymore. We're a group. We're just an assembly. We're just a gathering. Jesus said, "I'll build my..." What's he going to build? His church. So you don't want to be built, do you? You just want to please everyone. And all you're doing is purging people's lives in a wrong way. Okay, I'll be nice. In 1 Peter 1, verse 16, it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." Church, that needs to be our standard. If the world can't see a difference between us and them, then there's no difference at all. We're not a social club. We're not the Elks or the Moose or any of these other ones. We're the Church of Almighty God, members in particular. That means that we have a high and holy calling. This morning in my devotion, how many of you know when Jesus came to John the Baptist? He was at the river. And he said, there's one coming after me that I'm not even worthy to unlock his sandals. How many of you know that's great humility? I'm unworthy to even unlock his sandals. And Jesus comes up and said, that is so true, but suffer it to be so. And he subject himself to John. And when he came forth, the Spirit of God came upon him. The same Spirit of God that's in us now. Then that whole work of the Holy Spirit should be there. Miracles should be done because we're filled with God's Spirit. Say amen. Amen. Then the church needs to get back to that. We're so afraid of being Pentecostal. We're so afraid to speak in the Spirit. Why? Why has the enemy silenced us to that level? I came for a praise the Lord message today. We need to pray for those that are away from the Lord. The Bible calls them backslidden. In 1 Peter 2, verse 25, we like sheep have all gone astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. I know people personally that are away from the Lord. Move them close to your heart in prayer. Like on the ephod, they had all the stones that represent each tribe. They were removable. That you could take one of them and place it closer to your heart. We need to do also. Somebody that's away from the Lord, place them closer to your heart. Your family member, place them closer to your heart and pray through that. Don't give up on people. The Lord hasn't given up on you. I believe that he can search each heart. You ever notice how well the Lord can bring conviction in? You ever notice how he can speak a word everywhere? I mean, sometimes even in a gas station or a grocery store or lay on your heart, or you just by chance just speak a word in casual, God's doing a work. Come on, church, we need to be about that. I believe that we can have multiple witnesses on every person on this planet if we just share. The world is looking for something. They are. They just don't know what it is. We have the message. What you need is Jesus. No matter what your status is, no matter what your economy level is, listen, you need him. He completes the package. He is the package. You start to realize that was your purpose, is to serve him. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit's power produces a passion in us. In 1 John 4, verse 8, he that loves, listen to me, he doesn't love, doesn't know God, for God is love. But he who loves knows God. That means when you look at individuals, you care so much. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here, brother. I'm glad you're here. It needs to be genuine and sincere. Kids can tell when you're faking it. Sometimes we get older, we're just better liars. Oh, Jesus. Come on. I mean, sometimes we just got to be genuine with that. Listen, if you don't know all the answers, it's okay to say, I don't know all that, but I'll search the scriptures. Sometimes the enemy will throw an answer out of, well, what about this? Listen, if you don't have a God answer, say, I'll get back with you on that. But here's what I do know. Throughout scripture, God will give you wisdom and understanding. But the Holy Spirit is there to motivate us to action. I said to action. The Holy Spirit power produces a proficiency. That means an ability or a mastery. He'll make us good with a little. The Holy Spirit works in that area. He'll take what you have and just, man, make it the best. Then how about this? I pray this on every secular job I've ever had. Lord, I'm not very good at this. Please give me skill and ability to do this job. And God has always came through and give me that area. Can God do it? How about, Lord, make me the best employee as I work for this employer? Come on, can God do that? If you own the business, Lord, your hand to be mighty upon each man or woman that works at this company. You can pray over those things, and God can promote. Do you know, I believe this, if you just work hard, you'll get promoted. On my way in, I bet I saw 6 help wanted signs, even right now. Say it a bit. The Holy Spirit power produces a partnership. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Have some have the manner of, but exhort one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Remember, the second part of this was, I'm going to watch. We see the day approaching. Then, God, I want to be more a part of what you're doing. We only get this time once in our life. Amen? And think about all the saints that have went up to heaven that have already prayed for this land. We're not the first one to pray for revival. But we're not complete without them. Neither are they complete without us. And we partner in with that. Amen? I want to start hearing God moved in, I'll just pick a city. Omaha, Nebraska. And God moved in Omaha, Nebraska, and the whole city got saved. Cool! Can that happen today? We have so much that is over on this. How about God, you do a work? And I believe this with all my heart. The more the church arises, the less the church is going to be liked by the world. We just can't expect the world to go, oh, you guys are so loving. No, they're going to come against it at a greater level. We have to count on some persecution. But persecution is your strength. Bring it on. Amen. Are you enjoying this morning? Listen, we need to return to benevolent giving. That means good works. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7, he that sows sparingly reaps sparingly. But he who sows bountifully reaps what? Notice that the law of the giving is still in operation. For the believer, it's like it works so opposite the world. Jesus said, you want to receive, then be a giver. Amen? Think about the 5 loaves, couple fishes, feeds 5,000 men and women. That's a pretty good return. Amen? It wouldn't have happened without the provision. So God just wants your little provision so I can multiply that to meet a multitude. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Jesus wanted to teach him something. Listen, well, we don't have anything. We got a few loaves and fishes. What's that to all these people? Lord, send them away. They're going to get hungry on the road. Let them find some at the store. What do you have to give them? Can you see his heart in this? I know they're hungry. Many of them will probably faint or get tired on the way or maybe even drop off. I want you to stop looking at what you think you have and notice that in me there's a highway of provision I can bring to you and through you. Amen. It's that invisible highway that God wants to open our eyes to see. Amen. It all starts with I got 2. We need 1. Amen. And not my broke down one either. Here, I got a junky one. You want it? Here, wipe your nose with that one. I got a good one. But here you go. Bless you in the name of the Lord. How many of that doesn't cut it? And if you're offering it to the Lord, which one are you going to offer him? A snot rag or a good one? Maybe that's too straight up today. I mean, the Lord knows if it's broke. Amen? So God's good. Our giving needs to be one of a worthy sacrifice. And the heart of the giver, listen to me, it means more than just the gift itself. If all you had was 2 copper coins or 2 pennies, and that was what you had, and you gave it unto the Lord say, that person gave more than them all. How much the Lord sees those things? Do we think today he still goes, I don't see it all, I don't see anything? Or you think he still sees? Isn't it amazing that throughout the whole service, Jesus is by the offering box? And when they came in, many of them had great coins, great wealth. And it would thud. Oh, and people would go, ooh, look how much they gave. Whoa. And then they would take the best seats in the house. And Jesus just watched. And then a lady comes in, a widow. And she drops in her offering. And it doesn't make a sound. And nobody notices. And there's no fanfare in the congregation. And Jesus does this. See this woman? She's given more than them all. For she gave out of her necessity. Can you imagine God speaking over your offering? And notice he spoke over the offering as soon as she gave. So have that in your heart. When you release it, God's got a word for it. He's got a word on it. Say amen. Amen. I believe personally that that word sustained that lady the rest of her life. Say amen. Amen. Then Lord, speak over it. Then God, I need to return to that. Now church, this is a benevolent church. I honestly can say every food need, every toilet paper need that came our way. Who ever think we'd talk about toilet paper? How many of us, that was a precious thing? Oh my God, got to get some paper. I laughed every time I was at the store. I did, I'm like, oh man, this is just too nuts. But every need we've been able to meet this whole time. Thank you, church. Hallelujah. When things got thin, all of a sudden, something came in. To God be the glory. Thank you for your obedience. Are you enjoying this message? But our giving needs to be one of a worthy sacrifice. And then the other side of the equation is this. We need to learn to be content with the basics. In 1 Timothy 6 verse 8, having food and raiment, learn to be content. Then if God has met your needs, then listen to me. It doesn't matter. He likes you to have nice things. Don't get me wrong. But they shouldn't possess you either. Amen? There's nothing wrong with a new car, a new house. There's nothing wrong with all that. But it's still just stuff, true? We don't worship that. But Lord, teach me to be content. Even the Apostle Paul said, I learned how to abound and all to be abased. I know what it's like to be in a dungeon having nothing or in king's palace. But in all this, I learned how to be content. That when that contentment works in you, man, you can just go through everything. You're not so worried about the subtraction anymore. Lord, thank you for this. Hallelujah. I got two. You can have one. Can I make a personal testimony? We had some toilet paper. Can you believe that? And there was a family that needed some. We went and said, you know, we have some. We just found some. You're welcome to it. How many of you, sometimes you'll think, do I have enough? How many have ever done that? You're giving? One, two. How many have that just that brief moment where you gave away your abundance? Okay, four of you. By the end of the day, we had twice as much back as what we gave in the beginning. And I had to repent again. I know how it works. Lord, forgive me. May I never look at just this, but look to you. You'll always make all grace abound. Is this good this morning? Giving can be a measurement of our faith. It doesn't mean our faith. But if we're trusting the Lord, is he able to bring that back? In Malachi 3 verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat there. There may be provision for others. If we do, man, God will open the windows of heaven. Not just the windows. How about a storm door? Amen? How about a garage door? How about a barn door? That you won't have room that you're able to contain it. Then, Lord, I want that. Well, too many times we're like, well, Lord, then increase my bank account. You can do that. But how about this first? Lord, increase the Holy Ghost in me. Increase my revelation knowledge of my dear son. I would rather have that first than the financial side. I'd rather know him more than let that follow. How much can the Holy Spirit come and be with you? Without measure. True? How much word can you digest without measure? There's no give. How about this, Lord? Let me be more loving than I was before. More kind than I was before. More of the fruits of the Spirit. There's no measure against that. You can walk in as much as you want in the Holy Ghost. Amen? I've learned this. The more I get into God, He gives you the power to get wealth. Say amen. I mean, sometimes we chase after what is fleeting. But I've learned this. Giving is an outward sign of my love to others. In 1 John 3, verse 17, if you have the world's goods and see your brother in need, and you shut up the compassion in your heart, where does the love of God dwell in you? Man, if you have this world's good and you see somebody and you just say, whatever. Where's the love of God dwelling in that? Then, Lord, let us be those people. Let us return to benevolent giving. Let us have that a part of our heart. What did you come into this earth with? Zero? When my daughter got bigger, she's graduated, married, all that good stuff. I told her one day, you know what? You came into this earth with nothing. Dad, you mean I was naked when I was born? She was a little kid. I said, yep. Sorry. You didn't have a stitch of clothes on. Oh my gosh. In her mind, she was thinking as a little kid, all these people saw me naked. It was like revelation to her. What did you come in with? And what are you going to leave with? Everything you possess is going to be somewhere else. They may clothe you with something, but you're not even going to take that with you. So we have to look, what manner of men and women ought we to be right now? Then, Lord, let me be what you want me to be. Because I can't take any of that with me, no matter how much I amass. Then, Lord, let what I have be a blessing to this world and reach this world. Man, we use it for God's glory. You're storing up treasures there. Where moth and rust, believe me, it'll overtake you. Can you imagine the rewards you'll have in heaven by giving your life to Christ? Can you imagine Jesus himself saying, well done, good and faithful servant, in front of the whole known world that is there? And people going, you deserve it, glory to God. Because you did it unto him. Amen? How many feel if he gives you a crown, you'll cast it at Jesus' feet and say, the only reason I even have it is because of you? Well, I don't want to cast my crowns on this pile because I may not get mine back. It's like when we graduate and you throw it up in the air and then all of a sudden, Jill, I'm not Jill, where's my hat? Kind of want your own back. But no one's going to go and take your stuff. No one will come in and steal. If there was monetary money, honest to God, it was on your doorstep, nobody would touch it. Nobody would covet it. No one would say, that belongs to me. You will get what you deserve in heaven. And the truth is, you'll be known as you're known. Then, Lord, change me. Say amen. Are you enjoying this message? I'm not finished yet, but I'll have to close here. Church, I want us to be what God wants us to be. There needs to be a power of return. Then let's return to what is right. Let's begin to return to those things that we know. Amen? I challenge you to have an intimate prayer time with your God. Because what you do privately, God can reward you publicly. Amen? I haven't got into this yet. We need to return to an intimacy like never before. Come on, we're children of the Most High God. If you love your family, you can love the Lord. If you've had a hard family relationship, God can be father and mother to you. He'll even restore that. Amen? I want to challenge you this morning. How many here need to get back to soul winning? Let me see your hand. Okay. How many here need to get back to benevolent giving? Just give from your heart. Anybody else? Okay. How about this? How many need to get to be start looking like his return is near? I'm looking for the king to return. Anybody? And last here this morning, I'm going to ask you personally, how many need to see God's Holy Spirit work more in you? More power in that area? My hand is up too. I want to be holy because He is holy. Father, we ask You in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we'll return to what is right. Lord, I thank You for this church here where you get a chance to assemble again. Thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Father, as we return, Lord, we want to return to what is right and holy, what is true and just. And Father, I ask You in the name of Jesus, Your hand upon each one of us, that, Lord, we won't push away conviction, but we'll embrace it. That, Lord, we speak over this land, Holy Spirit, draw each one to repentance. Lord, bring forth change that we need. And God, empower us like never before. Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Lord, go with each one, Lord God. No plague come near their dwelling. No sickness come near their homes. Lord, they trust in You. Bless, I pray. Bring forth what You've promised in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church, for being here this morning. God bless you. Have a great day.